Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into a new A Convo with Mo podcast. It's your girl Mo Diggs, and I am so excited to be back. If you are tuning in today, it's either because you're a loyal listener and you got a notification and you like, hold on, my girl is back, or you're on Instagram today and you saw my recent post, guys. Yes, 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 it is true. Kiki Palmer is a mother, and so am I. I was home with my kids, bitch, I'm a mother. No drama. The past year has been such a whirlwind and a whirlwind. Is it a whirlwind or a whirlwind? Oh my gosh, y'all, please DM me and let me know if it's a whirlwind or a whirlwind. I'm so embarrassed. But the past year has been amazing. I recently gave birth to the love of my life, and it has been just magical ever since. I did so privately, surrounded by the people closest to me, and it was the most amazing experience as far as, you know, just being able to bring life, baby. Okay, Beery, stop playing. Okay, I brought life, okay? But we're going to get into all of it. We're definitely going to get into my birth story because it was beautiful. I am going to get into a little bit of my pregnancy because that's truly where the testimony is. And I really want to give glory to God and just share how I was able to, you know, overcome. But before we do that, let's get into Kiki Palmer, guys, because I'm not going to lie. As a mom, I was a little bit triggered and I really, really want to talk about it. So as you guys know, Darius Jackson, father of Kiki Palmer's child, and her boyfriend, I don't know if they're still dating. It feels like, child, they might not be. Basically, was getting dragged on Twitter, on Threads, on everything, on Instagram, on TikTok, for shaming Kiki Palmer. We was not feeling it. It looks like as a collective, everybody wasn't feeling it. And I know people think that the guys were feeling it, but they were not feeling it. Like, they know that that was crazy for him to go on social media. Every single man that I've talked to has been like, yeah, I mean, like, I get it, but I don't know why he went on the internet. But for context, guys, Kiki Palmer went to Usher's residency in Las Vegas with her girls, and she wore a black sheer Givenchy dress, and she looked good as heck, I will add. And also, just, like, to add in, she has been looking bomb, like, in postpartum. She just had a baby a couple months ago, and she has been looking amazing. She's been exuding such, she's been giving me life, especially as a mother in postpartum. I have been, like, tapping into my Kiki, you know what I'm saying, my Kiki energy, because she just looks amazing. She is exuding amazing energy. And so she went to, you know, Usher's performance, and, you know, he was singing to her, and she was giving it back, okay? He was serenading her, and she was giving it back. And the video made rounds on social media, and then the father of her child basically said, end quote, "It's the outfit though, ... you a mom." Once the backlash started brewing, he also tweeted, "We live in a generation where a man of the family doesn't want the wife and the mother to his kids to showcase booty cheeks to please others. And he gets told how much of a hater he is." And he wrote that on Twitter. "This is my family and my representation. I have standards and morals to what I believe. I rest my case." Whew, child. There's so many parts to unpack about this that I really hate it. And every time I talk about it, I have to say, you have to get it all out because there's so much context that people are missing, right? This is what I really felt. I felt like he wasn't really upset about what she wore because he has posted videos of her wearing more revealing, tight, different outfits, just like accentuating her body. And the reason why things like that is considered policing is because if it's okay when you share my body, when you, quote unquote, expose my body to the world, but when I want to be comfortable in my body and I want to wear this outfit and feel confident in this outfit that's very similar to things that you have expressed you like, there's a problem. If you guys have heard about, like, the Jonah Hill situation that's going on, his ex-girlfriend had posted screenshots of him being like, "I don't want you posting pictures like wearing outfits like this. I don't want you wearing things like this, bathing suits." When before they started dating, he used to put a bunch of heart emojis under her pictures of her wearing swimsuits. He used to send her pictures like, "Oh my gosh, you look so good in her wearing swimsuits." And I feel like it's so important to note that if the way that a man meets you, okay, if somewhere in the relationship he decides he wants to change you and he doesn't like what you're doing, then I think there's a problem. Do you get what I mean? Like, it needs to be worked out, or you need to leave because you're being policed. It's not boundaries. You're policing me because when you met me, you loved it. And now that we're together, You get what I'm saying? You want me to switch it up? You no longer want me to be a bad B? I don't like that. I don't like that. And so, yeah, Darius Jackson was dragged. And I just, you know, as I'm looking at Keke Palmer, you know, she's a girl's girl. Like, we've grown up with Keke Palmer. So one thing you're not going to do is drag my good sis on the internet, okay? We're going to come for you. We're going to come for you real bad. I feel like it was so embarrassing, man, like, for him to go on social media with that. Like, if my partner ever went on social media with our business, because there ain't nothing for you to pull me to the side, you know what I'm saying? Call me and be like, You know, I love a little check here and there. A nice classy, babe, keep it cute. You know what I'm saying? But for you to go on the internet, what you're trying to do is you want people to attack me. You're like, I no longer feel safe. I'm no longer protected. Because you tweeted that knowing that you might get people to agree with you. Meaning that you not only want to control me, but you want other people to attack me and control me as well. You must hate me, child. Anyways, y'all. So that's kind of how I felt about that. I personally don't feel like she went overboard, but if you're her boyfriend and you feel like she did, all you need to do is talk to her when she gets home. That's all you need to do. Anyways, let's get into the facts, y'all. Let's get into why I was triggered. So obviously, you guys know, postpartum depression affects Black women disproportionately. Like, the risk is 1.6 times higher for Black women than white women. I got that from Essence. Shout out to Essence. The 2022 study found that 68.8% of women were dissatisfied with their current body weight and figure after giving birth. Guys, like, I'm not gonna lie, after I gave birth, it's just shocking, like, to see after you have your baby, a couple days go by, and you're like, oh, hold on, my belly not gonna go all the way right back down. Like, you just look different, you feel different, you're breathing different, you're moving different, okay? Like, everything feels different. Shout out to Paid in Full. Like, it's something you can't even imagine. You're so excited that you have this human being right in front of you, and you're so happy that you have given birth, but you're immediately trying to find yourself. Like, as soon as I was not pregnant, I was immediately trying to find who I was as a non-pregnant person again that has given birth and has a baby. Like, I wanted to immediately feel comfortable in my skin because I just was like, who is this person now? You know what I mean? And so for Keke to now be blooming and be comfortable in her body and, you know, be enjoying her, it's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't try to make her feel not good. You know what I mean? I have been blessed with an amazing community. Oh my gosh, the first time I went out, I had a mental breakdown in the crib. Like, all my community was surrounding me. You look amazing. You look beautiful. Like, do not worry. Like, just, you got this. You look so good. Like, I had to be carried out of my home because I was so self-conscious about how I looked. And now that I look at pictures of myself, I was like, all right, girl, you was doing too much. You know what I mean? Like, you was doing too much. But it's just mental. Like, it is a mental thing. Like, and sometimes, you know, it's body dysmorphia. And sometimes you truly do not look how you used to look. And it's hard to get comfortable in that new body. I think it's important for women to not only, one, have that community, but make sure that your partner is your biggest cheerleader. And I feel like in that moment, she did not have that. And I don't know, that sucks for her. Like, that sucks, like, to have your partner not be your biggest cheerleader at all times and put you in harm's way. But like I said, I am, you know, also going through my postpartum journey. And I want to share more about my entire story. I found that I was pregnant last year, guys, and it was definitely a shock, okay? Because I didn't have kids in my near future plans, but like, in hindsight, it was definitely God's plan. When I found that I was pregnant, I also found out that I had uterine fibroids, large and plenty uterine fibroids. And something about fibroids that's so interesting is, one, how they disproportionately also affect Black women, but that you don't really know you have them until you get a sonogram or like an MRI on your uterus, because there's no reason for you to check. I had very painful periods, but I was always dismissed, guys. I was always dismissed. So if you have extremely painful periods, you should make sure you advocate for yourself at the OBGYN to see if you have uterine fibroids, or there's also some PCOS. Because they will just tell you to take Tylenol, they will just tell you to take ibuprofen, tell you to exercise, eat clean, all these things, and those things help, but sometimes you just have an underlying issue that needs to be addressed. And for me, that was my underlying issue, and, you know, it was very devastating, because to find out the most exciting news in your life that you're pregnant, but also yeah, but you also have fibroids and there's nothing that we can do about it if you're going to keep the baby. And it's like, of course I'm going to keep my baby. Like, I'm so excited. You know what I mean? Like, outside of the fact that I felt like at my big age, I felt like I was having a teen pregnancy, which I don't know. We'll talk about that. I was still so, so, so excited. But I was petrified because I didn't know what this thing was, which was now going to make my pregnancy a little bit complicated. So sorry guys, I'm just so happy that my son is here. Like, I'm so happy because I remember the fear that I experienced when, you know, I started looking up the facts and looking up, you know, how uterine fibroids affect pregnancy. And I just remember being so fearful, and like to look at him and see that he's here now. I'm just so, so, so grateful to God. And that truly is a testimony, right? I went my whole pregnancy. I didn't, you know, my face didn't stretch, which is how I was able to keep it off of social media. Praise God. I didn't really have any morning sickness. My feet didn't swell. What else? I didn't have nausea. I didn't, you know, spit. I didn't do a lot of the usual things that come with pregnancy. I was good, but these fibroids really kicked my tail. Oh my goodness, guys. I had the best support system, but I was in a lot of pain a lot of the time. And I just didn't know I was going to make it to the other side. Because if we get to talking about, you know, like the Black maternal mortality rates, you know what I mean? It's just scary. Like, I was scared. Like, I was genuinely scared. Throughout a lot of my pregnancy, I had a great Black OBGYN, okay? That was my girl. Shout out to Dr. Williams. But even a Black OBGYN cannot change the fact that the mortality rate for non-Hispanic Black women is 69.9 deaths per 100,000 live births, which is 2.6 times the rate for non-Hispanic White women. And going into my pregnancy, I'm not gonna lie, that was ringing in the back of my head. It was ringing in the back of my head, but I leaned into my faith and I had my baby boy, which is also part of the reason why I stayed off of social. Pregnancy is already hard enough. And then having all these eyes on you while you're pregnant just makes it a million times harder. And so, yeah, I stayed in my bubble. I tapped into my community. I prayed. I was leaning into the Lord a lot. And my faith was tested, y'all. Like, I was questioning God. I was, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I wouldn't pray. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I was a little mad at God, but you know, I just kept asking him to get me through and just let me see my son's face. And, you know, I feel like, you know, now that I'm here on the other end, I'm so grateful that he kept me. And I know that I want to give a testimony. I want to share to women that are dealing with fibroids that there is hope, because I had all these fibroids and, you know, sometimes they tell you that it affects fertility. And thankfully it didn't affect me. It also didn't affect my labor story. It didn't affect my labor. Praise God. I had a smooth labor, guys. Like, chefs. I had an amazing team at the hospital that I was at. They made my pregnancy so smooth. I labored for 12 hours. My water broke. I didn't even feel it. 3 hours later, I went to the hospital. Still was not feeling it. You know, I got that epi. Not gonna lie. Mm-hmm, yeah, I got that epi. And then I think about 4 hours later, I pushed for 30 minutes and my son was here. It was a chef's kiss. I just feel like God was like, you had a hard enough time during your pregnancy. Let's get this delivery really smooth. My doctor was amazing. The nurses were amazing. My postpartum nurses were amazing. Like, I just felt like, if you care to know the hospital that I gave birth in and you live in the DMV area, shoot me a DM and I'll let you know. It was amazing. Like 10 out of 10. Even the food was good, child. I was like, oh shoot, this is the best hospital food I've ever had. Like, I loved it so much. And that is the only reason why I will try for another one with my husband, because child, I'm not gonna lie. Like, after my pregnancy, I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna do it again. And then after my delivery, I was like, I could do this again. I could do this again. Yeah, that's my story, guys. I'm so excited. I am back. You know, I'm back to recording. We're going to be getting into the hottest of the hottest of the hottest of tea. You know, I'm not a mom blogger. Like, I probably won't be sharing a lot about my son. That's just not really my vibe. But my DMs are always open. And I love talking about mommyhood, like, with other people directly. So any questions about postpartum, if you're pregnant, tap into my line. Like, I love talking about it. If you have uterine fibroids and you have any questions, DM me. Like, I'd love to answer any questions that you have pertaining uterine fibroids and pregnancy. But yeah, y'all, we back, okay? Like, period. Next podcast, we're going to be talking about threads because I'm kind of on the fence about it. Like, I don't really know how to use it. Like, because I feel like on threads, you have to speak. For some reason on Twitter, I felt like you could get away with just retweeting. For some reason, I feel like on threads, there's so much pressure, but we'll get into that on the next episode, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys follow me at Modigga as well as the at A Convo with Mo page. And yeah, share this podcast and, you know, like, comment, you know, all the other good stuff. And yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Talk to you guys next week. Bye. And we are out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.